Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
You look amazing with the mist there. I can't see you properly, so you've never looked better. Hey, why don't you turn the person next to you and give them a hit and say, it's going to be a good night tonight. Thank you, band. You did a great job. Awesome. Awesome. Can we give the band a big hand, everyone? Well, it is good to sense you here tonight. I can't see too many people, but Pastor Rob, where's your wife gone? Where's Pastor Heather? Oh, there she is. Isn't she amazing? You know, I just want to come down here. I just want to, before I say anything tonight, some of you don't know who I am. Doesn't matter who I am, but I'm here tonight and I've got the microphone, so I just want to say some really nice things about Pastor Rob and Pastor Heather, because I've been observing these guys for about 18 months now, and I'm just so impressed by them as humans and as Christians and as a couple, as a family. I mean, they've done something to Fred. Look what Fred's become. Fred's gone. He's had enough. But, you know, and also as leaders of the church, many of us will just look at Sunday and we judge a church by Sunday, but I've been watching these guys behind the scenes, and just your character and your humility and just your genuineness. You know, if someone was to ask me some of these guys up, I'd say genuine, I'd say humble, and I'd say spirit-filled. And that's why I love you guys so much. And, you know, I have been in different parts of the world. I've seen revival in Nigeria. I was with Benson Adehosa, who cracked the nation open for God. He was a great leader. I was in PNG with a couple called Graham and Irene Baker, who birthed one church that had revival, and they birthed 500 churches out of that one church. Great leaders. Their daughter lives at Redcliffe. I try to get here tonight, but she's down the Gold Coast. And they were great leaders. And Pastor Kimmy loves the Gateway Church. And, you know, Robert Morris was sent to start that church in Dallas by Pastor Olin Griffin, who had a revival in the Shady Grove Church in Texas as well. And I got a great connection to Pastor Olin. He sort of mentored me over the years. And he's a great leader. And in the context of these great leaders, I want to say tonight, you guys are great leaders. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that tonight. You guys are great leaders and you're great humans. And I just love you so much. And church, do you love these guys? Give them a big hand. Come on. Give them a big hand. Like we do in the ghetto. And yeah, and obviously I love you as an individual as well. You've been so kind to me, so generous with me, with your time and your love and your faith. Awesome. This is good. My iPad doesn't want to turn on, but hey, they're overrated anyway, aren't they? They are overrated. There we go. It's on. Happy days. Well, you know, I've loved the series that we've been doing the last month, The Year of Living Generously. What a great idea. What a great plan for the next 12 months. And, you know, tonight I think it's maybe the last night about this, the last session about this. And so we're going to hit it tonight. We're going to do our best tonight. But, you know, I'm personally just really fired up about this. I want to live generously the next 12 months. I want to, you know, make sure I'm a part of that. And so just before I share something tonight, I just want us to quickly close our eyes. We're going to quickly pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you you're here. And Lord Jesus, we thank you your word is true. And we pray, reveal yourself to us even in a greater way tonight. Reveal your word to us, Lord, that all of us might grab a hold of this concept, this idea, Lord, this truth that generosity is the way forward for all of us, God, because you are a generous God. And everyone say, amen. Amen. Well, here we go. So let's talk about generosity tonight. And you know, theologically speaking, have you ever asked yourself a question, why did God make people? You know, over the years, I've heard people say he wanted worshippers. We're made to worship. And if you're a worshipper here tonight and a worship leader, you probably think that. You probably think, yeah, we're just made to worship. You know, if you're Catherine the violinist, and I love watching you, Catherine, every week, you know, she probably thinks God made us all to play an instrument. You know, there you are there. But, you know, I think theologically, the truth is God made people to share what he had. Because he had angels already. There was already worship going on in heaven. He didn't need more worshipers. But God made this incredible world, and it was so awesome, he wanted to share it with someone. Yeah. And we see God putting Adam and Eve in an amazing place, the Garden of Eden. That was beautiful. It had fruit. It had food. It was warm enough that you didn't need clothes. They didn't need to worry about what to wear every day. Yeah. You know, imagine waking up in the morning like, what am I going to wear today? Actually, I'm going to wear nothing. What a great way to live. All the time saved on choosing the outfit. You know, and what goes with the outfits? The accessories and the shoes and all that stuff. And because it was so warm and there was gold in the rivers. I mean, it was a beautiful place. And God literally shared it with people. And this is the heart of God. God is a generous God. And I loved Pastor Gwen this morning. I mean, she nailed it. Talked about how generous God is. And she talked about the spiritual aspect. But just in a natural aspect, God has been so generous with us to give us this world. And so as believers tonight, if you're a Christian here tonight, if you are desiring to know God and to walk with God, we have to grab a hold of the heart of God in our life. And the heart of God is generous. And for many of us, I don't know about you, but I was the most selfish prat when I was a teenager. Maybe you weren't, but I was. Everything was about me. If there was nothing in it for me, I wasn't in it. You know, I remember once some lady came to our school, did a presentation about door-knocking appeals and raising money for this really good charity, great work they were doing. And she said, if you want to help out on Saturday, just 3 hours of your time, you know, come and see me afterwards. And I went up to her and I said, if I come, what's in it for me? And I was serious. I'm like, are there T-shirts? Are there caps? Is there lunch? And this woman, she just looked at me and shook her head and walked off. And I thought, oh, well, they must have enough volunteers already. And obviously she just thought, you're an idiot. You know, you're so selfish, you can't even give 3 hours of your time to help someone else. So I just went to the beach that day and had a good time, as I always did. So coming into the Christian life, I had to learn the heart of God. And I know we've hit money so many times, but I remember I was standing in church as a brand new believer, and in those days, the offering bag would come around, you know, and people were dropping their money in the bag. And I remember standing there thinking, well, they're not getting my money. There's no way they're getting my money. Because I've seen this movie before. I've seen A Current Affair. I know what this is all about. But, you know, my friend who was sort of discipling me, he saw me and he must have read my mind and he got his Bible out and he showed me Malachi, you know, test me in this, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. And I literally, from that day on, became a tither, became a giver. And that started me on a journey that life wasn't just about me, what I could get out of it, but it was also about what I could give. And I'll tell you what, I've had my high times and my low times. I've had my times where the money's flowing and there's times where there's no money at all. But I've tithed faithfully for the last X amount of years. Because I'm not going to say how old I am, because I'm a millennial here tonight, okay? But since the time I got saved till now, I've tithed faithfully. And one day, when I stand before God, and you'll be the same, I honestly believe God's going to have some sort of high-tech computer screen there. He's going to, I'm serious, he's going to punch a button. He's going to say, you earned this much money in your lifetime. For some of you, it'll be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 million, who knows, over a lifetime. That's not 2 weeks, that's over a lifetime. Just one more offering, Lord, just one more offering, you know. So maybe a dream, I don't know. But anyway, and he'll hit the button and he'll say, you earned this much. And then he'll hit another button and he'll say, you gave this much. Wow. I actually believe God's going to do that. Yeah. And those that have given generously, you'll get the stable with the horses, the pool, the golf course, the whole thing. And those who are a little bit tight, to be like, go and clean Andrew's stable because he's got a few, you know. I can't back that up, but you know, but you know, I believe God knows how much we give. And it's good to be generous. Amen? Amen? Oh, yeah. But tonight, I want us to quickly look at a dictionary definition of generosity because, you know, it's sometimes good to remind us of what is generosity. Generosity is showing, I'm going to read it, a readiness to give more of something, especially money, than is strictly necessary or expected. It is larger or more plentiful than is usual or necessary. That's what generosity is. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a generous person even more over the next 12 months, thanks to Pastor Rob's direction. And so tonight, tonight I want to focus on two areas. Not money, we've hit that a lot. I'm going to talk about two areas, serving and hospitality. How to be generous in our serving and generous in our hospitality. And if you have a Bible, I want you to turn, please, to Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. Now, Pastor Rob, I love the idea of bringing the Bible to church. I've got to be honest with you, I did bring it once and I couldn't read it. And that's not your fault, that's my fault. My eyes aren't working so good. So, I need to get some glasses, you're right. But I love the fact that we have paper Bibles. I do read my paper Bible at home, I love it. It doesn't beep, it doesn't get emails sent to it, it doesn't get text messages. And that's why it's better than an electronic device. So if you've got your Bible, open it up. If you can read it, you're awesome, because I can't. But if you want, it's going to be on the screen. We're going to read a story of one of my favorite characters in the Bible, and his name's Abraham. And I don't know if you heard Pastor Rob's message on the most generous man in the Bible. He talked about Abraham a couple of weeks ago. And I missed that service, so I actually listened to it on the podcast. And I don't know if you listen to podcasts or not, but I love listening to podcasts. And so this is a free plug here. If you ever miss church... Now, if you ever miss church, listen to the podcast. If you weren't here this morning, Pastor Gwen nailed it. And have a listen to the podcast when you're driving your car, when you're jogging, walking, whatever you do. There's time in our world where you put your little earpiece in or your headphones on and listen to teaching and preaching. And there's some great teaching and preaching in this church. And I would encourage you, like I do, listen to the podcast. Someone say, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. The Bible says that the Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth trees of Mamre, wherever that was, as he was sitting in the tent. He was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. And so Abraham lifted his eyes and he looked. And behold, three men were standing there, okay, standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Can we roll it over to the next part of the Bible? Can we do that? Or is that as far as we go? Here we go. And he said, "My Lord, if I've now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. And after that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant." Is that the end, or is it a little bit more? Is that it? And they said, "Do as you've said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and a good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. Is that it, or is there more? There we go. Wait, there's more. And then he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. I'm hungry too. Let's all go to Pastor Rob's house. So I know he whips up a mean meal when he wants to. But you know, I want us all to remember who Abraham was at this time. Abraham, in this part of the story, was one of the richest men in the world. By far. Maybe the richest, some say. A few chapters prior to this, we see him going into battle with his 318 trained male servants of military age. And he won a battle against four kings who had just defeated five kings. So, you know, in those days in ancient culture, the way that men made a name for themselves was in war. And, you know, sometimes we think spiritual people are just weak people, just these soft little, you know, placid little types who just, you know, wouldn't say boo to a you-know-who and just always timid and afraid. But Abraham was a businessman, but he was no Richard Branson. He was also a warrior. He was a fighter. And he trained his servants in the art of war. He was ready for battle. And he went and defeated four kings in a battle who had defeated five kings. And so in his day, he was famous. He'd made a name for himself. So number one, he's rich. Number two, he's famous. And number three, he's got thousands of people working for him. If you've got 318 male servants trained in your own house for war, that means you've got a bunch of younger guys, a bunch of older guys who, you know, can't make the battle anymore. Oh, I'm sorry, Abraham. The old back's playing up a little bit, so You guys just go, he might have had several hundred more males, plus their wives, plus their kids. The guy sitting in this tent door literally had thousands of people working for him. Yeah. He was kind of a big deal. Yeah. He was kind of a big deal in the Anchorman sense, if you know that old movie. Love that movie. And he's sitting in his tent door, but he sees three strangers. And if you look at that carefully, it says that he saw three men. Yeah. I believe when the Lord first turned up, Abraham didn't know it was the Lord. Yeah. I honestly believe he just thought there's three dudes. And they've turned up in his space, and his sense of duty or his sense of doing right, his sense of what a good person does in this situation was actually to show them hospitality. And in this story, I see four things about Abraham. I see humility. I see a servant heart. I see hospitality. And later on, if you want to go home tonight and read it, I see prayer. This is Abraham's character. And these three guys turn up in his world, and he could have easily just done the Fonz thing, like sent one of his servants. Find out who these guys are. He could have sat just watching them, ordering people around. You go and do it. You do it because I'm the guy. Could have easily done that. But he had a sense of responsibility, a sense of duty, that it was his deal. It was his thing. He had to show these people some hospitality. It is so good because God's so good. And I don't know, oh, here we go. Be generous in our serving and hospitality. Maybe flick over the next slide. Let's see what it says. Thursday's a long time ago in my world, Pastor Rob. When I said, he ran. He ran. What I love about this story is Abraham, the big guy, the rich guy. You know, the guy with all the money, the guy with all the servants, the guy with thousands of cattle and sheep and goats and camels, and it's just all going on in his world. He doesn't just sort of go, oh, just wait there, guys. I'll just go and fix you up, you know, just sort of cruise along. He's running. He's hurrying because he has a servant heart. He was generous and he's serving. And he's not just giving him the leftovers. You know, he says, oh, can I just bring you a little bit of water? Can I just make you something small? He goes and gets his best calf, a tender calf, a good calf, and he prepares it for them. That was the best meat he had. He goes to his wife, because she was obviously the best cook in the family, and says, please make me some bread. He brings out the best for these visitors. And I'm just thinking, you know, when Abraham's running around doing all this stuff, we know it was the Lord and two angels. I don't know about you. I don't imagine the Lord and the two angels sitting there like this. You know, they're talking. I think the Lord was saying to the angels, see what I told you about this guy? See what he's, can you see who this guy is? I think Abraham attracted the favor of God this day through his humility, through his care, his servant heart, and through his hospitality. I believe we can attract God through our character. And I believe as a church, as we embark on this journey of living generously for the coming year, I believe we can attract the favor of God on us as a group of people by living it. Living generously, caring about other people, serving people, being generous with people. Abraham, I believe, attracted the favor of God this day. Does that sound good? What's in the next slide? I can't even remember. Like I said, Thursday so long ago. He hurried. And the next one. There's four times where it says he hurried. And again, he hastened to prepare it. And the next one. He ran. He ran. There you go. He ran. Say ran. So four times he's in a hurry. He can't wait to start serving. He can't wait to help these guys out. And of course, when he gives them the food, the Bible says he just stands and watches them eat. And that's a weird concept in itself. Have you ever thought about this? God eats. He's watching God eat. Jesus was there. If you're a theologian here tonight, or if you want to be a theologian here tonight, this is what people call, there's a fancy name for it, and I always forget it. I've done 2 years of Bible college and a history degree, and I can't remember the name, but it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. This was Jesus turning up with two angels, and they're eating food. You know, this is what I found in my Christian walk, Pastor Rob. I don't know about you guys and Pastor Heather. God's way more normal than we think he is sometimes. And God's not attracted to the weirdness as much as we think he is. And if I'm anything like God, God may be even repulsed by the weirdness. He doesn't want the weirdness. He sometimes just wants us to be normal. And just sit down and have a meal with someone. You know, I love Pastor Gwen's illustration this morning. Zacchaeus in the tree. What did she call him? The naughty little man. Good phrase. But Pastor Gwen was a little bit, she sort of said that in that conversation, Zacchaeus came clean and said, I'm going to restore. But he didn't. The Bible says they went to his house. And when God sat down at his table and had lunch with him and was just normal and ate his food and just loved him and accepted him and his presence filled that room and Jesus was looking in Zacchaeus' eye with his smile on his face like someone who loved him even though he deserved to be hated and cursed and crucified because he was stealing from people, and he saw the love in the face of Jesus and he felt the joy of God. That's when Zacchaeus' heart turned, and that's when salvation came, and that's when he said, Lord, I'm going to restore. Why? Because God just got really normal with him and just hung out with him and had a meal with him. And that's what hospitality is. And we're going to get onto that a little bit later. But Abraham had a servant heart, and Abraham had a heart of hospitality. So let's hit these two topics right now, serving. You know, in the New Testament, we see two great examples of people serving. You know, and the first one, what's his name again? Fred, help me here. What's his name? Jesus. That's right. Jesus. Yeah. Come on, Fred. Got to work with me, mate. Got to work with me. Jesus. Kind of a big deal in the New Testament. See, he hasn't struck me down. He's very normal. He can afford for us to have one laugh, you know. But he's washing people's feet. He's washing the disciples' feet in a time when feet got very dirty. There were sandals, there were no shoes and socks like we do today, like we have today. And Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. And listen to what he said. Like, the disciples are saying, what are you doing, Lord? You're the teacher, you're the master, you're the Lord, you're in charge. And this is what Jesus said to them in John chapter 13, verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. In other words, we all have to be servants. We all have to be servants. And in our serving, I believe we should desire to be generous. We should be generous in our serving. And you know, when you're serving, and I think church is such a great environment, such a great place to learn how to serve. Church is such a great place to learn how to grow and develop as a human being. And I believe if you've been a part of this church at least 6 months, you've got to be serving somewhere. We have to serve. We have to either be on the door or in the kids' church or in the car park or there's all these different roles. Ushering up there, collect the money bombs where people drop the money bombs on a little desk. I love dropping money bombs on that desk up there with my credit card. Boom. You know, whatever it is, we have to serve. We have to serve. And when we serve, we can be generous in our serving. And you say, well, how can you be generous serving? Well, you get a phone call on Saturday night because someone's sick and they can't make it tomorrow, and you're not rostered until next week, and you're just looking forward to sleeping in that day, and you were just looking forward to coming to church and enjoying the service, and the leader says, hey, can you serve tomorrow? What's the generous response? You work it out. I'm not going to tell you. But, you know, in my Christian walk, I've sort of done everything in the church. You know, I've served, I've done ashes, I've done kids' church, I've done youth, I've started a church and I've run a church and all that. But, you know, I remember when I was in the Hillsong Church in London, you know, many moons ago, I was new to the church. I was from another movement. They didn't know me, so they didn't get me to preach in the first Sunday. Surprise, surprise. And that's a good thing when you don't know people. But, you know, I joined the ushers team. And I remember once I was ushering, and they at that time were renting a university, Westminster University in London there. And the band was practicing. I'd got there early to be an usher. And this random just walked in. This English guy walked in. He heard the music. He's like, oh, what's the music? Is there something on tonight? Now, I could have done the bare minimum and said, yeah, mate, we're a church. It's done stuff for an hour. It's just a worship band, mate. Yeah, no worries. But I said, yeah, mate, there's something on tonight. He's like, oh, what is it? I said, come in, let's have a listen. And we sat down and he's listening to the band practice and he's like, oh, this is pretty good. I said, mate, it's awesome, isn't it? And he's going, what's going on? I said, well, actually, there's a thing starting at 6 o'clock. Why don't you stay for it? And I became his little friend, you know, and because I made a little bit more effort, true story. You know, all my stories are true. And even if they're not true, they contain a truth. That if you apply it, it can change your life. Boom. But this one's true, Pastor Fred. And I became his little friend and he stayed for the service. And I'm not lying to you, he got saved. He got saved. But yeah. Thank you for that golf clap. Yeah, that's good. But the point of the story is, if I'd done the bare minimum that day, he would have just left. He would have gone, oh, church, now I'm going to come to church. But I just made a little bit more effort. I was a little bit generous with my time. I gave him my time, and he gave his heart to the Lord that night. So whatever we do in church when we're serving, be generous with it. When you're on the kids' church, you know, you don't feel like it, I know, and you get there early, I know. But, you know, that parent that's turning up with that little angel, you know, in the car, that little angel, their head might have been spinning around a full 360, projectile vomiting green vomit and saying with an adult voice, I will destroy you. It happens sometimes with kids. Not my kids, of course. My kids are awesome. And those parents are driving to church and it's stressful and it's hard and it's just like, this is the worst day of my life. Why are we even going to church? And they turn up. And you know, if the kids' church work is generous, the kids' church workers just forgetting about the fact that they're tired and they'd rather be somewhere else, and they put a smile on their face and say, hey, welcome, guys. Let me take that little angel off your hands. Let's just sign it in, and then, you know, you just go and enjoy the service. It's generosity. It's generosity. And it makes the church awesome. It attracts the favor of God. It attracts people into the church. It's true. Serve with generosity. Let's serve generously. Yeah. Come on, church, let's go there. I know when I was running that church for 18 years, pastoring a church for 18 years, the hardest thing is teams. The hardest thing is getting people on teams and keeping them on teams and keeping them wanting to stay on the teams and do a good job. And this is a worldwide phenomenon, especially in the Western world. We live in an age of convenience. No one wants to do it. Can't be bothered, you know. But just think back to Abraham. He had thousands of reasons to not serve those people that day. But he found a reason to do it. He found a reason to do it. And if you put your heart generously into serving, we can make this church even more awesome than it is. Yeah? Second thing, hospitality. Hospitality, I love this one. What does the word hospitality mean? It comes from a Greek word which literally means to love a stranger. To love a stranger. And it's that word filio, love, which is that brotherly love. And it also has an inference of a love of an equal. You know, when we love one another properly as believers, we're all equals. Doesn't matter what our title is, doesn't matter what our experience is, doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, how good looking we are, how not so good looking we are, how wealthy we are, how not so wealthy we are. We are all equals in the sight of God. And when Abraham saw three men standing near his tent, he treated them like his equals. He wasn't any better. And he served them. And he showed them hospitality. And hospitality, in its simplest meaning, is just loving a stranger. Just loving a stranger. And again, you know, as Christians, we get established in our church. We have friends. We might be involved. We might be leaders. I don't know. And sometimes new people are up the back. You know what those new people need? A little bit of loving. Just a little bit of loving. Someone like you and I to go up the back and say, hey, how you doing? Welcome them in. Love them in. Just make them feel a part of what God is doing here. That's what hospitality is. And projecting hospitality beyond even the church on a Sunday, inviting people out for coffee, inviting people out for lunch. Just sitting down with people and just being normal. Just having a meal, having a coffee, just talking, listening, engaging as a human being. That's what hospitality is. And you know, I think sometimes those of us who are really desiring God, we look for the big thing. We look for the big encounter. We look for the big meeting, maybe. The big move of the Spirit. But biblically, sometimes God is actually in the stranger. Jesus said on the last day, he's going to separate sheep from goats. And to the goats, what does he say? Hey, goats, I was in prison, you never visited me. I was sick, you never came to the hospital. I needed food, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. And they're going to be like, hey, Lord, we never saw you in prison. We never saw you sick. We never saw you hungry. What are you talking about? What does he say? Inasmuch as you didn't do it to the least of these, my brethren, my people, you didn't do it to me. When Jesus meets Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, what does he say to him? Hey, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul's like, what are you talking about, Lord? I've never met you before. What does he say? No, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. In other words, every one of those Christians you bashed, every one of those Christians you put in jail, every one of those Christians you persecuted, Jesus said, I was in their life. It was me. It was me. And I just feel in my heart tonight to remind some of us that sometimes Jesus is up the back of the church in that brand new person. And as you connect to them and love them and welcome them through your hospitality, invite them into your world, you can encounter God. You know, this story of Abraham, I encourage you to go home and read it. It's a story of encounter with God. God speaks to Abraham. He prophesies. He promises him a child. Then he goes for a little walk with Abraham and they're looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham starts his intercession, this prayer for this city. It's such a powerful encounter with God. But there was no worship. Is that just your eyes? Because my eyes are challenged. That's not, is it? I'm good at about 5 feet and under. Emma, you're awesome. But you know, again, as worshipers, we think if we just have this amazing, amazing worship, I can drive legally when I'm the passenger. We think if we have this amazing worship, God will turn up. Well, God turned up in Genesis 18 and there was no worship. Or we can think, man, if you just preach up a storm, just preach and preach and preach, God will turn up. And sometimes he does, but you know what? In this story, there was no preaching, Pastor Fred. But there was hospitality. There was food. There was a calf. There was coffee. There was butter. There was milk. You are so ripped. Hitting his guts like hitting iron. But there was hospitality and there was serving. And God turned up. God turned up. Wow. Let's show some hospitality, yeah? Let's welcome some new people. We're praying for the church to grow. We're praying for new people. We're praying for souls. As we show hospitality, as we show a serving heart, I believe in my heart God's going to turn up. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. Church, I want to ask Pastor Rob and Heather to come to the stage. I just want to pray for them. Is that okay? Can we pray for our pastors? You know, they prayed for me before in the worship and it was so good. I just felt like sitting down and staying down there for about an hour and doing nothing else tonight. Do you love your pastors, honestly? No, honestly, do you love them? I just want to pray for you guys. Father, I want to thank you for this couple. And I want to thank you for this church. And Lord, we know that today where the church is not where it's going to end. We know, Lord God, that there's more in the future. And you know, Pastor Rob and Heather, I just feel in my heart that in the spirit, it's like you guys are adolescents. And that's not a bad thing, a negative thing. It just means that there's so much more of God to come. That the fullness of the stature of Christ in you is still ahead of you. You haven't reached everywhere where God's going to take you. This is not the end of your road. I just hear God saying, that even as a teenager grows stronger, even as a teenager carries more and has more capacity and more ability, I hear God saying there is more coming to you both. And it's like Australia has got this thick band over it, like a crust of unbelief and doubt and cynicism and drunkenness and just addiction and gambling. And for years, Australia in some ways has been a tough place. But I want you to know, Pastor Rob and Heather, I feel in my spirit tonight that God is going to give you guys a weight. That the Spirit of God is going to come upon you and your feet are going to break through that crust. Your feet are going to break through that hard ground. God is going to anoint your feet to break through. God is going to anoint your hands to break through. I see your hands waging war. I see the weapons of God in your hands breaking through the unbelief, breaking through the doubt, breaking through that thick crust over the nation of Australia. And out of that breakthrough will come rivers of water. Out of that breakthrough will come streams of life and healing and salvation. And churches will be planted and leaders will be sent. I hear the Lord saying that the years ahead of you are greater than the ones you've seen in the past. Father, we just bless them. Anoint them afresh, God. That's a river. That's a river. Pastor Heather, that's a fresh fire to pray, a fresh fire to intercede, Pastor Heather. I see you like Moses standing upon the mountain with your hands raised. And as your hands are raised to the heavens, I see the young leaders in the valley like the Joshuas and the Calebs and the warriors fighting. But you're the one standing on the mountain. You're the one raising your hands, Pastor Heather. You're the one whose prayers and faith go up to the heavens, and God Almighty hears and God Almighty answers, and the Lord wins great battles in the valley from the young leaders, the young men and the young women that God will send forth from this place.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with Him today. When we read Scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus His Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and He rose again so that we can have eternal life with Him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.